Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, in a story that most people are familiar with if they've been in church much at all. But we're going to have an adult-level study of the story of Zacchaeus, so I think you might hear some things you may not have considered before and gain some new perspective if you choose to follow along with us. The conclusion of this two-part study, along with other free materials and our contact and donation information, can all be found at our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And this is part 1 of 2. The current events update. We begin with a public service announcement.
The various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
Did you know that? They're kicking people off of social media for telling the truth, but our president lies to the whole country and says, you get a COVID vaccine, you can't get COVID, and that's a big, fat lie. And then he gets it anyway, after being shot up and boosted and all that. So, the public service announcement is this, it's free country, you want to get those vaccines, go right ahead, but it won't do much of anything for you, amen? The vaccinations were a money-making scam, and if you'll bypass the propaganda, fake news, and actually look at the science, you'll also find the masks do nothing.
Amen.
One big reason why is even if they wore the proper mask the proper way, there's evidence that it wouldn't do much of anything, but 99 out of 100 people you see wearing a mask are wearing the wrong mask and wearing them the wrong way. That's truth. And if you think it's weird that somebody stand up and say that, you need to turn off all the garbage you're listening to, because there's something wrong whenever the plain facts being spoken is somehow strange, weird. You know, we're living in the twilight zone. Number two, American history is being replaced with pagan deception and lies. In 2017, this is just one example. A statue of General Lee was replaced in New Orleans. Now, General Lee was the head of the Confederate armies of the Confederate States of America. And regardless of, some of us wonder if the right side won that war, by the way it's turning out. But if you believe that the states and state rights were at stake, and that Abe Lincoln only made slavery an issue at the end of the war, which is fact, and people have been brainwashed in this country to think that we went to war for slavery. We did not. But it turned out good in that one way, that slavery did become an issue at the end of the war, and slaves were freed. We're glad about that. General Lee was against slavery.
Amen.
Himself, and you can read his own writings. I've got the book at home if you want to borrow it. But he was against the invasion of his state by federal troops in violation of the Constitution.
Amen.
He was a very good Christian man.
Amen.
And his prayer life makes mine look terrible. And various things else could be said. But they replaced this Christian gentleman's statue. And take a good look at the replacement.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Now, it's supposed to be, because the person who made it evidently is hallucinating or on drugs or something, but that's supposed to be the body of a woman with a snake around it.
We wish it were part of the...
I was told it had something to do with women's rights or something like that. But I can't get past the big snake.
Yeah.
You replace General Lee with the serpent.
A serpent killing a woman.
I'm telling you, you have to understand, yes, we're against slavery and all that, but this stuff going on today, they didn't just take down General Lee, they took down General Washington.
Yeah.
They didn't just take down Jeff Davis. They took down Abe Lincoln.
Yep.
These people taking down these statues aren't against the Confederacy. They're against America.
Yep.
And they're against Christ.
Yep.
And they're replacing these things with satanic imagery all over the country. A nation being prepared by the serpent for the Antichrist. That's what's going on.
Yep.
No, they won't announce that, but that's what's going on. Here I did get some information. I forgot I found this. Simone Lee was the person who made the statue. The circle where the statue was called Lee Circle. And it was, as I said, removed in 2017. Lee's bronze sculpture aims to undo... undo the legacies of power that the Lee statue represented. Let me fill in the blanks here for you. It's against what's called patriarchy, which means the man is the head of the home and that the Bible is to be obeyed. That's what she means. I think it's a she. Was specially designed for that place to replace Lee. The sculpture depicts a snake wrapped around a slender female body whose form resembles a spoon. How many women you know, you look at it and you say, wow, she looks like a spoon. The design, though, here's the thing. The design is inspired by the various cultures of African diaspora that mix and flourish in New Orleans. Mammy Wada is a water deity. It's an idol. Shared by many African cultures, while the spoon shape is an important symbol of status in the Zulu culture. So they're replacing the Christian gentleman Robert E. Lee with African paganism and idolatry. I don't care where it comes from, it's idolatry.
Amen.
I found this. This is on the Demand Africa website. Zulu traditions, an integral fabric of the Zulu society. And among the things they tell you there is, as in any ancient culture, which isn't necessarily true, the Zulu culture is also based on spirituality and the power of ancestors. It's ancestor worship. They are remembered throughout the passage of life at birth, puberty, marriage, and death. The Zulus have several rituals that pay homage to the soul of the departed and invoke their blessings. Herbs and animal sacrifice are commonly used to appease ancestral spirits. That's what they replaced General Lee with. Ancestor worship, idolatry. And that's why you have to get used to doing your own homework. I can't keep up with it.
Yep.
We could meet every day and have hour-long studies, and it'd be hard to keep up with this stuff.
Yeah.
But the Bible tells you and I, all of us as Christians, in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God.
Amen.
Worshipping or killing animals in order to appease ancestral spirits is satanic.
Amen.
And we know that from the Scripture as well. Zacchaeus is the title. Luke 19, 1-10, if you have your Bible open. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke 19. And Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and we plan on going right into Acts after we finish Luke. Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem. He is heading there knowing why he's heading there. We've talked about that. He's heading there knowing he is to die for the sins of the world. Let's read verses 1 through 10. I'll have you read the even with me. So I'll start in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner.
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? So after healing the physically blind man in our previous study, Jesus now meets a spiritually blind man. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. We emphasize that he was not a republican, a publican. And it says he was rich. Well, here we go. Another government employee who became wealthy in spite of a normal salary as a public servant. How many of our congressmen and senators have a salary around $125,000 a year, which is plenty of money for what they do? They're being paid to kill the country right now. But you don't become a multimillionaire in a few years at that rate of salary. But that's what's happening. Does this sound familiar? Seen some of this in the news?
Mr. Weir, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on information you received from him?
No. Absolutely not. Okay. Thank you.
Over the course of Mr. Weir, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on information you received from him?
No. Absolutely not. Okay. Thank you.
That's what you get. You have these guys in Congress and Senate who will pass laws, and then their relatives and their spouses will take the information before the law goes in effect and make certain purchases of stocks and such things, and then after the law goes in effect, they make a bunch of money. They should all be in prison. And if it were you, you would be in prison. That's what's going on. That's what was going on at the time of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus and the publicans were the tax collectors, and they were cheating people. And they received a base salary, but they were wealthy because they were bilking the system and taking advantage of people. And that's what Zacchaeus was doing. And you have to understand, Zacchaeus was an evil man. And he was hated. People despised him. A lot of people were barely getting along from week to week. And Zacchaeus was living high on the hog, rich, because he was a crook. He was a crooked politician, a crooked government official. So you can kind of get the idea, and don't be too judgmental of these people when they don't like it, when they see how Jesus responds to it. But We've already read, as an introduction, we read the text and we see he becomes a believer. But where does it start? It starts with knowing who Jesus is. There in verse 3 it starts, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Doesn't say he wanted to know what he looked like. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Christians, in an effort to be able to brag about leading people to the Lord, we've talked about this before, have destroyed soul winning for the sake of numbers, because they don't even hardly talk about Jesus. All they get someone to do is go, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Yeah. And it's not a thing going on in the heart, and it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. It's fire insurance to get out of hell. Well, yeah, that's a good point to bring up when you're talking to somebody, but you don't start there.
Amen.
You start there with Jesus. Who he was. That's why I love these songs we sang. Christmas in July gives us a good excuse to sing these songs. But, O come, Emmanuel. It's all about God with us. That's why I like to call them incarnation hymns. God coming as a child, as a human being, to grow up as God manifest in the flesh, the Messiah of Israel, to die on the cross, shedding his divine blood to pay for the sins of the whole world, buried in a tomb, and after 3 days, raising himself from the grave, conquering sin and death, demonstrating to the world, not only did I die and pay for your sins, but I have now accomplished the victory over sin and death. And if you will put your trust in me, I will raise you from the dead. You will live forever with me. That's what it's all about. How can someone be saved if they don't even know anything about that? They can't. How many of people have said the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, who don't even know the Lord? They've been given assurance of salvation, but they don't even know the Savior. It's a scary thing. That's why we're very careful with the tracts we give out. The tracts talk about Jesus.
Amen.
And then tell you how to be saved. This is where my faith began. How many of you, either before or right after you're saved, were told to read the Gospel of John? If you haven't done that, man, oh man. I'm not saying you're not saved, but get in there.
Amen.
I mean, all the Gospels are great, but the Gospel of John is, I just believe, especially for the Gentile mind, really hits you right there.
Amen.
And right there. Yeah. And I just, as I read through the Gospel of John, I got saved.
Amen.
I had heard a lot of it before. I was raised in church. My parents, I just congratulated on their anniversary a moment ago. Raised me in church, talked about Jesus and everything, but it was not, you can't get to heaven because you're raised in a Christian home. It has to be here. And I got saved when I realized I didn't know anything about Jesus. I'd looked in the other religions. I'd, you know, dabbled in the occult, dabbled in the New Age. I've told you how, you know, I also inebriated and found some peace for a short amount of time with substances. But that's a dead end. I did not want to admit my parents were right about Jesus. So a little pride got in my way too. But as I read and looked at the Gospel of John, and I got a little book they've given out, it says 10 million. I bet it's probably 50 million now. That's the cover of the one I had years ago. More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. Why? Because Jesus was the carpenter's son. We suppose he was a carpenter up until he started his ministry. But he was more than a carpenter.
Amen.
He was God in flesh. And he isn't just another Savior. He's not a Savior. He's the Savior. Too many Christians, if you've seen the polls, professing Christians say, well, Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah. But I believe there's other ways. You know, getting to God is like going into a Baskin Robbins. Pick your flavor and be sincere. That's a lie of the devil. And could not for the press, because he couldn't see Jesus because he was of little stature, and he couldn't see him because of the press. Now, that's talking about the crowd pressing together. He couldn't get through the crowd and everything. But, I had to, ironically, as today it is the press that blocks people from seeing Jesus.
Yeah.
And you say, that's different. Well, it's kind of like a type. It's kind of like a picture. What Zacchaeus couldn't get through the press to see Jesus today, the press, the media, keeps you from seeing Jesus. If you turn on any reports, any news reports, if you go in a grocery store, go through the aisle, it seems like constantly Time Magazine and some of these others have these issues about Jesus. You open it up, it's a bunch of liberal apostate scholars telling you every false thing about Jesus. You turn on the History Channel or PBS or A&E or, you know, whatever, and they have a documentary about Jesus. Watch out when they say, the search for the real Jesus, or the search for the historical Jesus. We're not searching. We know the real Jesus. He's right here in this book. You don't have to search anywhere beyond that book to know the real Jesus. But when you go in and you watch these documentaries and everything, they'll deny the virgin birth. They'll deny most of his miracles. Even a lot of times explain away his resurrection and everything. And what's it leave you with? It leaves you with either a false Jesus, or you're just empty altogether. That's why, you know, we don't operate as a cult, even though we've been accused of that at times. I don't tell you what to watch. But I do tell you that if you're going to watch anything that addresses anything in the Bible, you need to know your Bible well enough that you can say, that's not right. And Jenny and I watch things all the time that aren't put out by Christians, and a lot of times there's no reason for Christianity, but it's just TV shows and things. And we've watched a little of this thing called Emily of New Moon. It was a 1998 to 2003 series. I think it was out of Canada, actually, originally. And, you know, there's all kinds of things in there. And they'll bring up things in the Bible, and instead of opening a Bible, say, well, let's see what the Bible says. They just like, oh, well, I think this. Well, I was told this. They got Bibles that shows them in the show. But that's how we laugh about it, but it's sad, too, because we know that's how most people that we know are.
Yeah.
They'll talk about the Bible sometimes an hour at a time. The point, actually, open a Bible. As insane as that is, that's how everybody, as insane as it is for anybody to ever listen to anything from the press and the media and not go to your Bible and see what it actually says. We must rise above the obstacles and see Jesus.
Amen.
If you are not willing to put forth some kind of effort to get to know Jesus, you really don't want to know Him. Probably half of the romance movies out there about how some guy or girl really has a thing for another guy or girl, but something's in the way. So what do? Whatever it takes. Why? Because they really love that person. They're in love with them. They got to be with them, right? Mm-hmm. That's how to be with Jesus. People give these excuses. They think at the judgment seat of Christ, they're not going to be able to, the great white throne if they're lost, they're not going to be able to give excuses. God's going to say, you gave no effort. You had a Bible right there in your house. At no point did you pick it up. You knew about that church down there, down the road. You knew it was full of a bunch of crazy people and you would have fit right in. Did you go? You knew they had a website. You could go there and listen to the Bible teaching there anytime you wanted, 24/7, free of charge. Did you go there? You don't think God's going to do that? Yes, He is. Everybody up there who, I don't know for sure they'll even try to give an excuse, but I believe that God's going to point out all the attempts made to reach them and how many times they said no. I just made a short list of obstacles to seeing Jesus. Number one, our own false ideas.
Yeah.
How many people I talk to, and when I say, well, what do you think about Jesus? Well, I think, to me, my Jesus, I sound like a smart aleck when I say it, but I try not to, because I just say, well, you know, there's a book about it. And in that book, what you just said doesn't really, match the book. Don't you think we should go by God's Word rather than our own opinions?
Amen.
Not most people. Not most people. Amen. I'm glad you said amen. We also create Him in our own image.
Yeah.
I struggled with things for years in my Christian life, and I realized one of the reasons was because I wasn't looking at Jesus biblically. And I kind of had Jesus, He was God. He died for my sins, rose again. He's going to come back, etc., etc. But He was also kind of like my buddy. And He didn't really get too upset when I do things that He didn't want me to do. I'm sure He's just looking out saying, boys will be boys. Right? That's not Jesus. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But Jesus is holy. Jesus has told you right from wrong, and He's also given you His Spirit if you're His child, and your heart will prick you when you know you're doing wrong, and if you keep doing wrong, I love you, but you're going to pay for it. God's going to let you suffer the consequences. Do right, and you don't have to worry about any of that. Now, everybody in here, I'm sure at some time, you know what I'm talking about. Or you knew what was right and you didn't do what was right. God doesn't kick you out of the family, but He'll let you suffer the consequences. Why? Because He loves you, and that's the real Jesus. Don't make up a Jesus that puts up with sin. I want to take this moment to make a little correction or just a tweak of Wednesday night. We were talking about music and contemporary music. I want to make sure I'm clear on this. I mentioned Carrie Underwood. She has not come out as a lesbian or anything like that. What I meant to say and wasn't very clear about is she and her church has come out as inclusive, and they now do gay weddings and have homosexuals in leadership. And that's what I was talking about. Among Christian contemporary artists, they're making up a Jesus in their own image, in their own imagination, and it's showing in the content of their music and the content of their lives.
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians see the mass majority of professing Christians around them doing that, and they think, well, it must be okay. Don't fool yourself. I don't care if every Christian on the planet does what Carrie and her church did. It's satanic.
Amen.
Then there are just the false teachings and false Christs. There's some...